573-8227. Thanks for your support. This is KPFT Houston.
Welcome to Think Wing Radio on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. I'm Mike Koenig. Bob Gartner is on controls. I am working on not starting the show with a sigh. It's an uphill battle. I'm doing like breath control. No sighing. All right, just running down a list. Oh, open forum, 713. Someone just held up a sticker that says WTF America. You know, the world actually is kind of saying that. The whole world is like WTF America. And America is saying it. All right, well, we're going to get to some things. I don't know if I'm going to get to them in the order that I wrote them down. One of the things, and I think he said this before, Ben Carson compared slaves to immigrants coming to a land of dreams and opportunity. And there's a little, like, 30-some-second video that you can go to my website, thinkwingradio.com. I have the link to it on today's show announcement, thinkwingradio.com. You can follow me at thinkwingradio on Twitter. And, of course, kpft.org. Please help support the station. So, I mean, there's no point in even dwelling on that. That's why I made no additional notes on it. The revised executive Trump order that now bans travelers from 6 Muslim-majority countries, Iraq, got a pass. And interestingly enough, they still don't name any of the countries that the 9/11 hijackers came from. So they don't include they don't include Saudi Arabia, from which 15 hijackers came, United Arab Emirates, 2, and then one each from Egypt and Lebanon, and none of those are on the list. Coincidentally, it is believed that Trump has financial interests in those particular countries that are not on the list. But I'm sure that has nothing to do with it. Okay, now we go on to, as they used to say, page 4. There is a story that I've been following that really hasn't gotten a lot of press, although if you look, it's kind of out there. This SEAL team that flew a Trump flag in Kentucky going between bases. So I've been trying to keep up on this. You actually have to search to find news on it, although, you know, they've had articles in the Post. So what it says now is a special warfare unit that flew a Trump flag in public. Now the Navy is punishing its members. So they're not saying how they were punished. They are saying that it was inappropriate. And I guess I'm going to read, I guess, a few sentences of my take on this. Apparently, this is as far as we're going to get publicly, is yes, these SEALs have been reprimanded. But whatever the disciplinary outcome, the question, the problem remains. Are these SEALs primarily pro-Constitution or pro-Trump? Military personnel are human. Regardless of military tradition, rules, and protocol, they will each have their own opinions, values, biases, and prejudices. And knowing this, the American military and militaries of other democracies must and do constantly inculcate the culture of military loyalty to civilian control, to the nation and its laws, rather than to any one person or party. And that is what made this incident so troubling. Someone in this unit thought that flying a Trump flag was a good idea and did so. We will never know which of any of the other team members supported or opposed it. But what we do know, no one in the unit thought that this was a bad enough idea to stop it. In every nation at some point in its history, the military must choose sides. Who and what do they support? Choices and options can be murky, decisions can be difficult, and outcomes unclear, but history pivots on those moments when the military must decide. So there's that. And actually, I'm going to have my closing show quote is a little bit from the article from the Navy spokesperson. There is a British lawmaker at the heart of the Trump wiretap allegations, but she claims that she never said anything about wiretapping. There's a nude photo scandal that has shaken the Marine Corps because young men, I mean, I'm not saying that this is something that I agree with, but, you know, young men, lots of adrenaline, they do stupid things. Another question that has come up in Mother Jones, can Republicans be trusted to investigate Trump's Russia scandal and why the congressional intelligence committees might not be up to the task? So we already have some callers, so I'll start getting to them. Let me just see if there's anything else I want to make absolute. Oh, there is a repeal and replace going through the House. Here's one that I think is important to mention before I start taking calls. And we do have open line, 713-526-5738. There was an article in a website called War on the Rocks. It's an interesting site. If you haven't looked at it, you should. People that are really kind of knowledgeable about military and foreign affairs make contributions there. And this particular article is called Doomsday Canceled, Trump is Good News for Allies and World Peace. It's kind of a contrarian's point of view. But I think one of the key points he makes, I'm going to sort of closely quote here, is that Trump's communication strategy and America First approach has already frightened allies into doing something predecessors could not, which is increase defense spending. Fear of abandonment has changed the nature of the defense debate in allied capitals in Asia and Europe. The question is no longer whether defense spending should increase, but how much. U.S. allies in Europe are now scrambling to produce concrete plans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There is another article in the Washington Post entitled, In an Era of Donald Trump, Germans Debate a Military Buildup. There is another article in The Atlantic, Why Sweden Brought Back the Draft 7 years after abolishing mandatory military service. The country is now responding to, quote, the security change in our neighborhood. Now, all of this, you know, when you talk about our allies contributing more money to defense, it's good, it's bad. It's worth noting, one of the reasons that the United States and to a lesser extent Britain and France have been the main contributors to defense in Europe and the Pacific, we didn't want our former adversaries rearming. That was part of the point. We didn't necessarily want Germany to rebuild a big, powerful military and maybe develop nuclear weapons. And we didn't want Japan to develop a big, powerful military and maybe nuclear weapons. And that's why MacArthur had a hand in writing the Japanese Constitution that made it strictly a defensive force and not an offensive force. So, you know, we can talk about, hey, great, all these countries now are increasing their military. But what this also does is it starts to create new military spheres of influence. It starts to create a multipolar world where more nations have more military power, creating greater risk of military confrontations with countries that formerly didn't feel the need to have big, powerful militaries. And in every country with a big, powerful military, there is a Dick Cheney saying, whispering in somebody's ear, it's a shame to have such a big, powerful military and not have a use for it. In every country, there's a Dick Cheney saying that. All right. Let me do a quick early station ID, and then we'll start taking calls. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. You can go to my website, thinkwingradio.com, and follow a lot of links. Some of them most of them I don't even get to here. A lot of information on my website from various shows, as well as archived audios of them. Think Wing Radio on Twitter, at Think Wing Radio, and of course, kpft.org. You can donate in the tip jar. You can support this show. You can support this station. And thank you in advance. Okay, first up is Jerry. Jerry, you are on the air. How are you doing tonight?
All right, how you doing?
Okay. We're gonna do a little shorter than our usual first call because we've already got five people on the line. So.
Oh, you do? Okay. All right. Well, I was just going to say, you know, you didn't even mention that Trump has accused Obama of spying on him and everything.
I did mention the wiretap story, that the person that seems to be most instrumental in having created this buzz, she says that she talked about FISA in her article. She's like a conservative former British MP. And she said she never said anything about wiretapping in her piece. That's something that was inferred by Trump. But, yeah, briefly, I did bring it up. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I just think that's ridiculous. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, once again, he's in a position where he has to find something that almost certainly doesn't exist.
You know, there was an article somewhere that I ran across that said that, based on what Trump's been accusing Obama of, Obama may actually have a slander action if he wants it. He probably wouldn't. But
no.
He may actually have a libel action. You know, publicly making statements accusing somebody of something provably false.
I don't think he wants to get into that.
Probably not, which is maybe unfortunate. I think that hardball is the game of the day. In our political environment right now, and I think that the existence of the Republic as we know it is at stake and matters. And I think hardball is what true Republicans, small r Republicans and small d Democrats, that's the game that they have to be playing to preserve the country right now.
Well, I just think it's ridiculous that the guy feels like he, you know, he should be able to just do whatever he wants to do. And all that, you know, you want to sit there and go, you know, have you ever read the Constitution? You know, I think that should be one of the key requirements for being president. You know, you've read the Constitution and you actually have some idea and understanding of how it actually works.
Maybe that should be a required orientation for anybody who declares in the primary.
Yeah.
Kind of like showing your tax returns. That's like an automatic thing when you declare for the primary. Got to do at least 5 years of tax returns.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing, too, and, you know, he continues to put his foot in his mouth and his foot in his tweeter or whatever.
is whatever. Yeah, he's used that phrase before. Go ahead.
To basically screw things up. I mean, you know, you have to sit there and wonder if you're a – you know, if you're like a foreign leader, you really do have to begin to wonder about some stuff.
Oh, yes.
About this. You know, I would be sitting there, and I would be dubious about anything that anybody in the executive branch tells me and everything. I wouldn't be afraid to take anything as gospel.
The Trump regime has permanently scarred this nation for at least one or two generations. You know, living memory, at least living memory, they have scarred this nation in ways that will have changed the world, not necessarily for the better. Scarred our relationships with other countries, scarred their perception of us, scarred people's perception of us around the world. And no matter what we do, no matter how this turns out, this nation and its place in the world will have been permanently scarred.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that could be the case. I'm hoping not, but you may very well be right. And then one last thing,
yep,
on a much lighter note, and everything. I texted you or I sent you a link to some British magazine or paper or whatever, and it showed a bunch of supposedly a UFO over El Paso, and. And all that, and it's pretty strange looking. and all that. But I just thought I'd mention that to you.
I saw the email. I saw the title of the link. And, I mean, I apologize. I didn't look at the video because the first thing that crosses my mind when you talk about UFOs in El Paso is military aircraft.
Well, yeah, and then they sat there and discussed that possibility. But they actually said at first a black hole, and then they said a black hole like portal opened and everything. Because it was just like, yeah, if it was a real black hole, of course we'd all be gone right now.
This is true.
But anyway, you know, it's kind of stupid. But anyway,
just remember, UFO simply means unidentified flying object. It doesn't mean extraterrestrial. It's a UFO until it's an IO, an identified object, or an IFO.
But anyway, I think you'll find those pictures interesting. I don't know, I'm pretty dubious. I don't think, you know, of course, I would dismiss the little green men thing practically out of hand. But
I believe in life on other planets. I just don't necessarily believe in so-called flying saucers so much.
But anyway, it's interesting looking and all that. The pictures.
I'll take a peek.
I'm looking. So anyway, I'll let you go.
All right. Thanks for calling, Jerry. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. I think Gary is actually up next. Gary, you're on the air. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, Mike. I have a question.
Okay.
Every rational human being, whether they're liberal or conservative, left, right, recognizes the condition of Mr. Trump. And I'm wondering, seriously, why people are tolerating this insanity, threatening our planet and our nation, and why won't anybody, you know, take action? You know, I mean, Bill Clinton had a little ditty with a girl, and they impeached him. And Richard Nixon, he was trying to get reelected and pulled a few shenanigans, and they made him resign. And this man is threatening the nation and the planet and World War III and a possible civil war, and nobody says anything. You know, ignorance or mendacity, the result is the same. Are these people with him or against him? Why won't anyone respond to this insanity?
Well, I think that the simple answer is greed for power has made Republican leadership, elected officials, blind to what it is that they're supporting. I just did a quick, like, reload on my Google News tab before I left. I didn't have time to really add anything to the show. But there was a headline that basically said, why are the Republicans seeming to actually support Russia in this Trump situation as opposed to being alarmed by Russian interference and alleged manipulation of our government? And the Washington Post is now taking this question, literally your question, Gary, seriously. And they did an article on it that just apparently came out a couple of hours ago that I didn't really have time to do much more than read the first paragraph.
Well, my question is not exactly that, because that's the ignorance part or the mendacity part.
Okay.
The point is that, you know, people realize this man, you know, as the Australian press responded to his treatment of the Australian prime minister, you know, we are dealing with a mad king.
Yes.
And
George III, our own George III.
Yes, but how can anyone who loves this country, whether they get power or wealth or they're greedy or whatever, all right, how could they threaten our own nation by supporting this individual? It's obvious that he's unhinged, he's out of control, he's a liar, he's a nutball, he's crazy, and everybody knows it. They talk about it every day. Why would anybody, I don't care what your political stance is, stand for this? That's what I don't understand. John McCain, bless his soul, and others have stood up.
No, they have not stood up. They've spoken up, but they haven't actually stood up. They still vote with their caucus.
Why won't anybody say, all right, you know, where's the straitjacket, you know, where's...
Well, Gary, I mean, I hate to cut you off, but basically you're asking the same question to which I have to give the same answer. You have people that are putting party before country, putting agenda before country. I will tell you, I will give you an analogy. During the Iran-Iraq war, which occurred shortly after the Islamic State took over Iran, and you can look this up, this is a fact, there was a portion of the new Iranian parliament that hoped that Iraq would win so that they could then use the loss of the war as a tool to overthrow this new Islamic State. Now, from an Iranian point of view, that would be treasonous. Now, from our point of view, who would win and what the turn would be on government regime change, you know, that's a different thing. But from a strictly Iranian point of view, you're talking about a group of Iranian politicians, people that are considered among the elites, hoping their country will lose the war for a specific political goal. And I believe that we have the equivalent of those Iranian legislators right now in our federal and state governments, and they don't care what it takes to pass their agenda. They don't care what it means, as long as I can never remember his name, the guy who's like anti-tax. He has such an odd name, and for some reason I can just never remember it, and I can always visualize him. But basically what he said was all he wants is a president that has a functional hand to sign the stuff that Congress passes. Trump kind of fills that requirement, maybe. That's what the Republicans are hoping, and they do not care of the bigger meta consequences. They just want to pass their agenda. So they are the equivalent of this Iranian faction hoping that the country loses the war so that they can gain their objective, and that's how I would... That's the answer I have to give you.
Okay.
And it's not satisfactory, but I think it's responsive.
All right.
Okay.
Goodbye, America. Thank you.
Yeah, take care, Gary. Sorry for the bad news. Okay. You're listening to Think Wing Radio. Gary is done. So we're going to be going to the next caller momentarily. Thank you, Gary, for calling. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. We're going to be going through the calls a little quicker than usual because the lines filled up, and I always like to get as many people in as possible, and early callers, I always try to promise. So, Greg, I believe you are on next, and you're on the air. How you doing, Greg?
Thank you, Mike, as always. I have been watching with very keen interest the same people who last year, when they were running for president, talked about how Hillary was such an evil person, and yet they come up with this outlandish story about wiretapping when it has been alleged that they have been dealing with a foreign government, that surrogates in their own campaign have been dealing with a foreign government, and yet we're supposed to just take it at face value that we should trust them.
Yeah, we should just get over it.
Yeah, get over it, because, you know, they've won, and gee, we progressives and Democrats are whining. We Americans are whining. Well, I'm not going to get over it so easily, because my democracy means more to me than that. And all the folks who listen to this station who are progressives and even non-progressives, if you value the freedoms we all talk about, that we all say we believe in, we ought to be the first ones to write our, or even tell our representatives,
We want
a thorough and clear-cut investigation. And if it leads up to the Oval Office, so be it.
You do know that I'm actually going to make two comments, if you'll forgive me. One comment is Rachel Maddow made an interesting observation that has really kind of stuck with me and perhaps haunted me. She said, throughout recorded human history, no democracy has lasted more than 300 years, and that was the Roman Republic. And it's worth remembering that the Senate voted the end of the Roman Republic. They voted in, literally, the imperial era of the Roman Empire. And the other thing that I was going to say is there is an action work. And actually, this responds to a couple of comments, apparently, that are on my website that I haven't been able to properly respond to yet. There is an action that is working its way through the Supreme Court that has been surprisingly durable, a writ of mandamus, that asks for the nullification, that asks the Supreme Court to nullify the election all the way back to the primaries. Now, of course, what the court might decide to do or not do is an unknown. But they're using a very, very intriguing theory, and I think that this legal theory is the reason that this has gotten as far as it's gotten. On February 22nd, apparently one justice, and it might have been Ginsburg, decided that there was enough merit in this writ to pass it on to the rest of the justices. So on March 17th, the writ is going to be distributed to all eight justices, and it takes four to actually require oral arguments in the court. Only four justices have to want to hear the oral arguments. And the novel theory that is in this writ has to do with something in Article 4 in the Constitution, which says that essentially, I'm paraphrasing badly, but essentially that things like government services like elections, when they are interfered with by external forces or other inappropriate forces, become void and need to be redone. And I mean, on a state and local level, the court has ordered new elections on grounds like this. And the theory that they're putting forward is that we were cyber invaded. You know, we have airspace, we have territory, we have sea territory. And what they're arguing is we have cyber territory. And our cyber territory was invaded in such a way as to require the nullification of the election. That's in a nutshell my very poor paraphrase, but March 17th is another key date in this thing moving along. If you go to my website, I have links in my various show posts that you can actually go to the docket number. You can read the articles going before the Supreme Court. So, I mean, it's a real thing. And it's one of those things that I think there are specialists in legal journalism that they're keeping an eye on, but nobody is actually spending a lot of time covering it because it seems so outrageous. But it's not so outrageous that the Supreme Court has dismissed it.
Yeah, I mean, people need to understand that over 40 years ago, it took a Catholic priest who was a congressman of Massachusetts to begin the first articles of impeachment, you know, Robert Drummond.
Well, we are living in dangerous times, and some people may take actions against it that some of us may disagree with. But, you know, in the grand sweep of history, our democracy now, going back to Rachel's comment, our democracy now is about 240-odd years old. So we are approaching at least the second oldest democracy in human history. So we're coming to that point. Will we survive past the Roman Republic? And I think now is one of our big tests.
It is, and I think we can. I think we have to be more engaged and more involved. And people have to understand that if these things matter to you, you have to be the one to be educated enough, to find out enough, to ask the kind of probing questions that are needed, and to make sure that as a free society, we can continue to hold that. Hold the people that we elect accountable.
I am incredibly worried and concerned, but cautiously optimistic. I see signs that, there's going to be enough resistance that in the end, right will out. And I don't mean the right wing. I mean the right thing. Okay, Greg, anything you want to wrap up? I need to let you go.
No, that's it.
Okay, thank you so much for calling, Greg. Take care. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Bob Gartner is on controls. You can support KPFT by going to kpft.org, clicking on the donate or tip jar, or whatever they're calling it now. You can donate $5, $3, $50, $500. You can donate a car. You can donate a boat. You can call the station during the daytime to get information on how to do that, 713-526-4000. That's not the call-in number. That's the switchboard number. And you can go to my website and get all kinds of information I don't have time to cover on the air, thinkwingradio.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at thinkwingradio. And MOD, it is your turn. Thank you for holding on. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, good evening, Mike.
So what's on your mind tonight?
Just what you asked me to put on your blog site, which I did.
Well, what I actually did say, and I mean, I approved it, so it is there as a comment under the show. What I actually suggested you do was put together a coherent thought piece with your citations, and if it looked like a coherent argument, I said I would post it. Links, you know, links are just comments.
New York Times and Washington, or Wall Street Journal, are, I think, Source News, and that's what I was going to provide.
No, and I mean, that's fine. And I, like I said, I approved the comment, and it's sitting at the bottom of the show. But okay. if you want to use those citations, I'm not just going to post links as a blog.
No, post. I think if you want me to put some, you know, not a dissertation, but I'd be more than glad to put some language. But I did put a little bit of explanation that, you know, per the request, so understand.
Here's what I would suggest. If you want to make a case, something like 500 to 1,000 words, and link your citations, and if that looks like a coherent piece, I'll post it.
Yeah, so you have it on the site, though, as far as the source references that you requested.
You made a comment that was attached to that show, and I approved that comment, so those links are below the post for that show.
So, we don't want to, you know, to end up like, you know, what Trotsky said, we'll get the useful liberal idiots, meaning if we don't even think for ourselves, let alone follow the dog whistle or bias drumbeat to the cliff. Like, it's on both sides, I would say. That if you actually just look at what I think everyone considers sourced information, it's there. So it's sad that if it has to be that way, but I have no problem, you know, speaking truth.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm open-minded. Even if I disagree with you, if the piece is coherent, you know, it's a legitimate thought piece, and with your citations, and, you know, I may edit it a little bit for language or whatever, but, you know, that's the offer.
As long as, you know, the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times articles that provide a proof to the point I made last week that it's not a conspiracy, we'll next time we'll put some meat to it.
Yeah.
We can have a narrative, maybe. So this Perez guy, you know, I think he's there, you know.
The new chair of the Democratic National Party.
Yeah, he's. I mean, just look at the links, and there's a Judicial Watch. I just finished reading. They've sued the Justice Department when he was there for all the negligence and they'd say crimes, but this guy is the opposite of what the party represents, meaning. Schumer, Warren, Susan Warren, Bernie Sanders, Chuck Schumer, and a handful of these other folks from I would consider progressive Democrats were, you know, pushing for Ellison. And then that was November 15th when he put his hat in for the race. The 15th, Obama called Clinton for some reason, and they basically chose to have Perez go in, also into this race.
Well,
and that's a fact. I can, but what I want to point out though is, beside all of the Congress filing against this guy for the crimes of what he did, you know, giving the waivers to these banks that you said you didn't know about. Well, they're in. Just go look the links.
Well, I'm going to caution you on saying the word crime in this connection, because a crime is something that you would be indicted for, and it's hard to say it's a crime if there was no indictment.
I would say crime if it's your job is to represent the soldiers. His position was to stand on and uphold this law since the Civil War.
Well,
and not only did Congress have Maxine Waters and several other Congress people say don't do that, he went ahead and gave the banks a free ride. So I call it a crime when it's your job and he chose to take the money. I mean, it's just what I want to try to say, Mike, is Perez is the final demise of the party. That's the final tier. His job is to now protect Clinton from getting investigated for the slush fund, the Clinton Foundation.
Well,
I attached an article with all the memos of the actions of the Clinton Foundation, with them losing their aides fund because they created
here's what I'm going to say, and I apologize for cutting you off, but here's what I'm going to say. I think that in trying to present your argument orally, it sounds disjointed. And that is the reason that I'm saying send me like 500 words or more that actually details it. If it looks like there's something coherent there, I'll look at it and maybe help you put it together into something readable if it looks like there's something readable there. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're right. I'm just saying this is an opportunity I'm giving you in order to make your argument in a thoughtful, reflective way, because it's hard on the air.
Right, I understand. I appreciate that, Mike.
Okay.
But the links are there, the source news. That last one got posted showing all the filings and the Nagini and all that I was trying to say about the fraudulent efforts of the Clinton Foundation. That link I was posted, so let me know what you think on that, at least by next time we talk.
Well, the Clinton Foundation is considered by those who rate such things as one of the cleanest foundations in the country, if not the world. That, but, you know, I'm not going to argue with you because we have other people waiting, but that is why I'm suggesting you write a thoughtful piece that allows you to reflect on how you want to present your case.
So, okay. Instead of talking about it over the phone or on the air, I understand, but these things, just because they go against the tide of the forum, I guess, do we have to then, only way to talk about it, I guess, would be to provide it on your blog instead of just stating.
Well, again, the reason I am making the offer to you is because I think there's something important you feel you want to say. I don't feel that you're coming across well orally. I think it's coming along disjointed. And that's why I think a written piece would be the better way for you to present, and that's why I'm offering you the opportunity to try it.
Gotcha.
And I thank you for calling, and I'm sorry that I can't quite put together or even in many cases agree with what you're putting forward, but I'm willing to read it.
All right. Have a good one.
Okay.
Bye.
You take care. All right. Next up is Wayne. Wayne, thank you for waiting. You're on the air. How are you doing tonight? Wayne, are you there? Okay. We'll give you like the 5-second delay. Are you with us, Wayne?
Let's put Wayne on hold.
Okay. And we'll go to Syed.
Go to the next.
Okay. So, Wayne, you're on hold. If you're there, you call back or you get back on the line. Syed, you're on the air. How are you doing? Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you? Good show as usual.
Thank you.
I think the perception is that Trump is crazy and stuff. They think even psychiatrists have said he's got malignant narcissism. But I think he is more calculated, conniving, racist, xenophobic, who is trying to
is that a defense?
No, he's trying to create domestically chaos with his xenophobia, from anti-Semitism to Islamophobia, you know, to police as a law and order type of situation. And globally, he's trying to satisfy the military-industrial complex with his Muslim ban, you know. Mattis is supposed to be called Mad Dog, but actually within the Pentagon, within his own troops, he was called Chaos.
Hmm.
So it is, you know, for progressives to elect Perez, also within the Democratic Party, you can see that Keith Ellison, being a Muslim, he was not elected. So this type of situation will actually make things worse, both domestically and globally.
Well, one of the ideas that's floating around is basically that by governing in this new method of chaos, and I think that maybe many people give too much credit to him as this being some kind of a Machiavellian master plan. I just think he's a chaotic person surrounded by people with an agenda who use him. But I think that this chaos, it certainly loosens some things that have been metaphorically in concrete for the last 50 or 70 years. And you can argue whether loosening those things up, like the Germans rebuilding military and the Swedes restarting conscription, and the Japanese now taking a more assertive posture outside their territorial waters. You can argue whether these are good things or bad things, but they certainly have been unleashed by the chaos that has broken up the logjam of tradition that has been the world order since the Second World War that the U.S. Has put in place and somewhat enforced.
And this nationalist movement is not just confined here. I mean, you would see the same things in Europe. You know, you have a right-wing fundamentalist in India ruling currently many places. You know, I mean, you can see what's happening in Germany and France and stuff, Sweden. So so they are tapping into the far-right type of ideology, and we, the progressives, are not, coming together.
I think progressives tend to be very intellectual and very thoughtful, and I think that in a meta-political sense, that is not a helpful thing, which is, the right wing can be really, really disciplined in their messages and have no compunctions about lying.
Right. I mean, you can see how many bills are getting passed through while everybody is distracted and, whether there was a wiretap or not.
Well, bills going through the House, bills being put up for votes.
Executive orders. I mean,
I'm sorry?
We can't keep up with the executive orders that he keeps on doing every day.
That's true. I mean, when I do a show, I never know where to begin and where to end. I end up with so much stuff that I have at least tentatively planned. I try to put it in a hierarchy, but I never get to all of it. It's impossible. It's just so much freaking stuff.
Right.
And you're right. It creates a distraction. It's just this ocean of turbulence of things happening. It's like, which undertow do you worry about?
Right. And Obama, in his first term, he had both the houses, and still the only thing he could really do was the health care bill.
Not the first term, the first 2 years.
First 2 years, right.
Half his first term.
Right, right. But I mean, but he didn't, because as a progressive, I think we think differently.
I think that, my feeling about Obama is he took too much of a hands-off approach to let the Congress kind of sort things out. And I think that as the guy with the bully pulpit, I think that he needed to take more responsibility. But I think by the time he learned that lesson, it was 2010 and it was too late.
Yeah, he did as much damage, the drone wars than more people were deported under him than under Bush. So, again, we don't, when there's a Democratic, government, we tend not to bring up issues the way we do it when a Republican is on office.
I think that we could have a really interesting conversation, Syed, but tonight, because we've got so many callers and I want to get to everybody.
I love your input.
Well, I appreciate your calling. I do. I think I know which Syed you are, and I appreciate your calling. I think as far as illegal immigration goes, I am torn. I am of two minds. My wife is a naturalized American citizen. She had to go through all the hoops. She had to hire the lawyers. And I will tell you that legal immigrants to this country tend to take the hardest line against illegal immigrants to this country. And I don't think deportations of illegal immigrants are in and of themselves inappropriate. I think that when you start getting into things like families and children that are brought over with their parents who don't have any control, I think that there has to be some heart and reason attached to how and when this is done. I think we should have a worker program. I think that that's become self-evident. On the other hand, one of the cases I've made is that when you argue that we have porous borders and we have these illegal immigrants pouring in, it's like, well, okay, we're never going to get it to zero. So what is the acceptable number of people getting past our border security? Is it 1 or 100 or 1,000 a month? I mean, there has to be a number that you feel is secured, because you'll never get it to zero. If zero is the number, you'll always have your argument. And I think that that's something we have to pin them down on. What is an acceptable amount of permeability? It's never going to get to zero.
I agree.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling, and call again.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Bob Gartner is on my controls. I appreciate that as always. He's been a quiet guy tonight. No, you see, your microphone is turned off and I can't read lips. But I appreciate, as always, his helping me out on the board.
Whose controls are they?
They're your controls, Bob. They are your, well, they are, how can I put, they're your controls on loan. They're Bobby's controls. Right, Bobby? No? Okay. I guess now we're going to get into a whole semantic discussion of whose controls they are. Anyway, all right, let's not play so much. My website is thinkwingradio.com. There really is interesting stuff there you can connect to and research and take as a starting point. So I think that you would actually find it interesting. Thinkwingradio.com. Also at thinkwingradio on Twitter and kpft.org. Do not forget kpft.org. To listen anywhere in the world live or going to their archive or on my website, I archive my shows. Okay. Doug. No, hold on. What? I can't hear you.
Sorry, we're going to put Wayne on now.
Oh, okay. Oh, Wayne, right, because we lost Wayne. Okay, Wayne, you're on the air. Thank you for calling back. How you doing?
How you doing, Mike? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good evening.
Make sure you can hear me now, huh?
I can hear you.
Okay. First of all, let me say DA, that's an anonym for two words. Trump has put himself in a hell of a bind here with this thing he accused President Obama of.
Yes, he has.
Let me go on to say that when Donald Trump gets impeached, that's coming. Resistance Radio will have done a great part to show the people that they made a mistake. The second thing is that Donald Trump said he would do all these executive orders. For those progressives that think Donald Trump is doing great things, and he's the GOP that thinks Donald Trump is doing great things, Donald Trump has only signed one executive order, and that one executive order was knocked down by a federal court. That wasn't even the Supreme Court.
You did read that he has issued a new one now. There's only six countries. That apparently there's more argument within the executive order as to the rationale for it. We'll see how that goes.
But you know the man that he's playing around with that's up there in Washington, D.C., he's not a chump. He's not to be played with.
No.
This guy up there is not to be played with. And I doubt that this executive order will even see the light of day. I'm gonna hold my opinion on that until it has actually been posted.
Yeah, there'll be several days before we've gotten it digested.
I'll give you a chance.
Okay.
Because I don't want to lose my train of thought.
Sure.
Now I heard you say that President Obama shouldn't file a libel suit against.
No,
Donald
a caller
Trump.
Said that. I did not agree.
Okay. I think that he should file a libel suit against him because if Donald Trump did, and he has no proof of it, and this is what's going to get Donald Trump impeached. What he did this weekend was detrimental to this country, whether people know it or not.
I agree with you.
Our safety is at stake here now with what he just did. And it was at stake with him putting Sessions in power. Now, Sessions can do. Sessions can sit there and say that he's not going to go along with the filing anything that the FBI told him to do. This is even a bigger problem. GOP, y'all need to listen and watch and see what's going on here because this is not a game here anymore. This is real about this country.
Depending on how things turn out, this could be the end of the Republican Party as we know it.
It's going to be the end of the Republican Party.
It ought to be, whether it will be.
Young people have to be taught what they are doing. There's no more civic engagement here, Mike. Young people don't understand that their lives and their rights are being taken away from them by a systematic change that they don't even understand it.
I think increasingly they are being made aware, and maybe in its way that's a good
thing.
Well,
they better hurry up.
Yep.
They better hurry up because right now their lives are in jeopardy. They're, futures, the jobs, and everything's in jeopardy.
All right, Wayne, I apologize. I know you've waited a while. I've got two more callers I want to get on, which is why I've kind of let you make your points mostly uninterrupted, if that's okay.
Okay. Have a good night.
All right. Is there anything you want to say as a last word? I'll give you that.
No. You can comment on anything I said afterwards. If you got something to say, I'll be listening.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. I agree with pretty much everything you say. So. Okay. All right. You take care. Thanks for calling.
All right.
All right, we've got two callers left, Doug, then Egberto. So, Doug, you're on the air. How you doing tonight?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey.
I am the one that had a big optimistic note. Gosh, man, we got to hang in there. We got to fight the good fight.
Yep.
I mean, I really encourage people to do a variety of activism, including, like, low-key internet activism.
Everyone has to do what they can do. I do my radio show, maybe donate some money, feet on the ground, whatever it is you can do, you got to do.
And I'd like to recommend one or two things if I could.
Sure.
There's a website, Alternate History. And they ban people too readily. That might be good, it might be bad. But it's among the more polite, intelligent discussion on politics and a bunch of other stuff that I've seen.
Mm.
People might like that. They might not. If you find the one that has before 1900 and after 1900, you found the right one.
Okay.
So that'd be one good thing I'd recommend to people.
Okay.
I wrote down a title of a book. It's kind of a very intriguing title. It's called The Innovator's Hypothesis, How Cheap Experiments Are Worth More Than Good Ideals.
Say it again. How what?
The Innovator's Hypothesis, How Cheap Experiments Are Worth More Than Good Ideals, which I think encourages us to take it to the next level. That, you know, we're very brainy people, we progressives. And people that listen to Pacifica put a lot of thought into things, you know, to our credit.
Yeah, but, I agree.
Taking it to the next level where, well, let's get some interplay going between theory and practice. You know, some things might work out better than we think they do, and we can roll on even more. Other things, for whatever reason or reasons not immediately apparent, may not, and that's okay. Like in business, there's a slogan, hurry up and make a mistake. The sooner you find out what doesn't work, you can get the stuff that does work.
And the perfect is the enemy of the good enough.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Let me give you the guy's name, and then I think people could find it just on the title, but... His first name is Mike, just Q. His last name, I think, I'm going to say it once and spell it once, and that'll probably be good enough. Schrage, S-C-H-R-A-G-E.
Schrage, probably.
Maybe so, but anyway, that's all I got to say. I'll let some other folks have
the word. Okay, I appreciate your call, Doug. Sure. Thank you. Take care. Okay. I think we're going to have time for our last caller. Let me just do that quick station ID. You're listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM. You can listen live anywhere, kpft.org. That's also where you donate. And Egberto.
Hey, Mike. Great show. It turned out. I mean, I love what you're talking about. Just want to make one comment about it.
First, let me just say I'm flattered that you're calling, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, let me tell you, you have a good show. I like to listen to it. I advertise it every week. But anyhow.
Do you? Thank you.
Listen, the immigration, I'm a legal immigrant. I followed the rules to get here. But earlier I heard you mention that some people that are immigrants like myself are the hardest on the current immigrants that are attempting to come in here or that appear in an undocumented fashion.
Well, let me say what I said, all right, so that you can then comment on it. What I said was many legal immigrants take the hardest line on illegal immigrants because of the time, trouble, and expense they've gone through to immigrate legally. Now, of course, that's not universal, but I think that the legal immigrants I've spoken to, by and large, tend to take a harder line. Now, go ahead and make your point.
Right. Now, my point is that, I think that is a bit inwardly, but I, as a legal immigrant, I would have done whatever it took to come to this country because of what this country represented. And that's how a lot of other people, a lot of other immigrants feel. In other words, yes, it's good that I could come legally. Had I not been able to come legally, there's a good possibility I would have tried other avenues. Now, there isn't a guilt factor at all in the way my mind works as far as that is concerned, given the genesis of this country. So therefore, what I'm saying is we should have secure borders. I agree with that. But if somebody, a decent person, is lucky enough to be able to get around it and somehow make a good living here, I really don't see that as the type of crime that Donald Trump and those that don't support immigration in general and giving a pass to those people who have been successful here in an undocumented manner, somehow not giving them the ability to stay. And that is from somebody who came here legally.
I can't help but be sympathetic to what you're saying. You know, it turns out that my mother's grandfather may have actually crossed the border illegally from Canada to get here. So I may actually be the descendant of an illegal immigrant coming from the Ukraine because he didn't want to serve in the Tsar's army and may have gotten to Canada and then immigrated into the United States. So, I mean, there you go. You know, it always comes down to a question of the letter versus the spirit of the law.
There you go.
The intent versus the fact. And one thing I want to point out, everybody pays taxes.
Exactly.
You cannot say illegal immigrants do not pay taxes. They pay gas taxes and sales taxes. And when they rent apartments, they're paying property taxes through their rent. And they pay taxes on their utilities. Everybody pays taxes. But income taxes are a different question entirely.
So true. I have a piece that's coming out in the Observer this week that I'm, one of the things that I said is, when the original settlers came here, they conquered. Most of those folks that are coming out here now, all they want is a job. They're not trying to conquer. They just want a job.
Well, you know what? I am really happy on a personal level that you called, Egberto, and I'm hoping we can get together again.
Absolutely. You take care, my friend. All right. And all right, take care, Robert, as well.
All right. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Okay. Well, that was a nice way to kind of wrap up the evening. You've been listening to Think Wing Radio with Mike Koenig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston with Bob Gartner on controls. Juan Flores is coming up right after me with Jazz Latino, a very pleasant... Oh, I got stuff to say. Don't worry about it. He's telling me, stretch it out, stretch it out. First, let me give you my quote. This is from Lieutenant Jackie Maxwell, spokeswoman for the Naval Special Warfare Group 2, said in a statement to the Washington Post, quote, "Our concern was military members showing a partisan political allegiance to a person as opposed to the Constitution or the country. They simply cannot, in uniform, in military vehicles, and in an official capacity, show partisan political leanings." Okay, thank you so much, all of you who called, all of you who listened. I'm sorry that I couldn't give more time to you guys, but, you know, the constraints of a one-hour show. So all of you take care, and I'll speak to you again on Monday. Bye-bye.
Pink Martini returns, a three-night musical celebration. Pink Martini draws inspiration from music all over the world, crossing multiple genres. Pink Martini returns with their upbeat multilingual repertoire of Latin, classical, big band, samba, pop, and jazz music. The group returns to Jones Hall with performances on March 17th, 18th, and 19th. More information and tickets are available at houstonsymphony.org. This is KPFT Houston.
Pancakes with a Purpose on Tuesday, March 7th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. with select locations offering extended hours until 10 p.m. Celebrate National Pancake Day at IHOP and receive a free short stack of pancakes. Then make a donation to one of IHOP's charitable partners, such as Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. Every stack served helps reach the goal of raising $3.5 million for children battling critical illnesses. Since National Pancake Day began in 2006, IHOP and its guests have raised more than $24 million for charity. Your donation does wonders for these great charities. You're listening to 90.1 KPFT Houston.